Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. As always, we welcome you in Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we may ask or think. But here's the contingency: according to the power of God that works within us. That's another one of those contingencies in the Word of God. You'll find that in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You need the power of God, the dunamis, dynamic power of God in your life, especially here in this end time hour. Before we get into the broadcast today, I want to remind you next Monday is going to be our questions and answer program. We've had so many questions about so many different things. I thought we would start taking each Monday of the first Monday in each month, I should say, the first Monday in each month, and answer the questions, whether you mail them in or email them to our ministry address. My wife usually gets most of the emails and forwards them to me, and I do my best to try to answer all of those emails. But we have many, many questions about many different things. So I thought it would be very helpful and instrumental in trying to help answer questions relative to the Scriptures. Let me say, first of all, as I said this month, I don't know everything. But I promise you, I'll give you a scriptural answer for that I do understand and I do grasp. Many people today don't grasp the deep things of God because they're carnally minded. You have to have the Spirit of God to illuminate your mind and let you see deeper into the Scriptures, to see things there. And, of course, the Holy Ghost is the great one to lead, to guide, to direct, to teach, and to unctionize our minds. 1 John 2:20, John said, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." That word unction there in the Greek is charisma, such a misused word. The word charisma actually means the smearing on of an anointing, but it's used today in a secular term of being distinguished, debonair, able to talk fluidly or whatever the case might be, one's demeanor, one's disposition. Oh, they're charismatic. No, they're not anointed. You need to understand the Scriptures. Such misuse. You've heard me use this term, yada, yada, yada. I don't use it. You've heard me say that. But that's Hebrew. And it means in the Hebrew to know someone sexually. 30, 45 on your strong, exhaustive concordance. Yada. There's so many things that people are so naive because they don't study the Scriptures. That's why I took four programs the last 2 weeks to try to get you to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. People don't study. They take 90% of what they know from somebody else, what somebody else said. I want to know what God said. So if you have questions, please get those to us, and we will do our best to address them next Monday. And if for some reason we would be overloaded, we may just take Tuesday and do the same thing. But before we go into the Scriptures, I was out here in the studio last week working, and a song began to rise up in my spirit that I recorded about 40 years ago. The girl's name is Tremaine Hawkins. She's a black sister in the Lord, and her, I think it's her husband, Edwin, wrote the song. She did the song. It's a tremendous song simply entitled Going Up Yonder, and I kept hearing those words in my mind, in my spirit, so I YouTubed it. I found it. I haven't heard it in nearly 40 years. I pray it'll bless your heart and your life today. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, my friend, I trust that's your heart's desire today, to make it, to hear Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If you do that, my friend, if you serve faithfully, you will inherit eternal life. I want to go today to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, reading verses 21 and 22. Exodus chapter 13, beginning at verse 21. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." I want to speak to you today on a very, very simple thought, and that is the power of God. The power of God. Regretfully, the church today has become profusely anemic. There is no longer the presence of God in most houses of God. They go to church, they sing their songs, they have their offertory. The preacher supposedly preaches and then dismisses the people, and they leave somehow perceiving they've had church. I remember back in the 80s, the early 80s, when I began to evangelize, actually in 1979, when I was evangelizing, I went to a church, and God began to move, and I was there for over 3 weeks in a revival. And I remember after the first service, a lady walked up to me and she said, "This is the first altar call we've had in several years." I was stunned. I was shocked. I was in utter disbelief in that. How is it that a man claims to be a pastor, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet he never gives an invitation to come to the altar and meet God and cast your cares and your burdens upon the Lord? That's been 35 years ago. And it's even far worse today than it was then. There was a day when a preacher would preach and the Holy Ghost would show up. He would reprove, he would rebuke, he would convict people of their sins. They could not wait for the man of God to make an appeal to come to the altar where they could come and humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and confess and repent of their sins and get right with God. I know that is old, old fashioned. I know that's a part of the past. But my friend, God has not changed. There still needs to be an altar in every house of God where men and women alike can go and kneel and cry out and call out to God for whatever the need might be. Whether that need is a spiritual need needing redemption, whether it's an emotional need needing the touch of God through the Holy Ghost, whether it's a physical need and the need of healing from the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter. God is the God of all flesh. He's the God of all flesh. And preachers today are denying the people of God the opportunity to sense the power and the presence and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. People today have forgotten what it means to prostrate themselves on the altar. And with what's coming down the pike, you're going to need the power of God in your life as never before. Now, I know people do not preach about the power of God. I know little Joy Osteen has his commercial now on the Fox Network saying something to this phrase, that there is a power greater in you than any power in the world. I'm paraphrasing. Sir, why don't you tell them there's Holy Ghost power that one can possess, that one can have, that one can receive, and that is the power of God to cause them to overcome every power that is in the world. But he won't say Holy Ghost. He's ashamed. He's ashamed of the Holy Ghost. He's ashamed to use certain biblical terms. You know why? Because he's afraid he might offend somebody. But I'm telling you today, we need the power of God for what's coming down the pike. The Bible tells us in Acts 14:22 that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the great tribulation are inextricably attached. You cannot separate them one from the other. Though men do, they're doing it, and it's called heresy. They are inextricably attached. You cannot separate the kingdom of God from great tribulation. Thus, we find the scripture in Acts 14:22 that we must, through much or great tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You can't be any more precise and concise than that. Revelation 1:9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Suffering is coming to the church. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to face untold suffering, and you're going to need the power of God. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He says you're going to have tribulation. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil. Those who live godly, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led lives are going to suffer greatly. And Peter said, it is better if the will of God is being exercised in your life and that you suffer for well-doing rather than evil-doing. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, is going to enter into a time called Great Tribulation. You're going to witness every part of the world, every religion is going to turn on Christianity. They're going to say that is heresy, that is fallacy, that is not right, that's mendacious teachings, Jesus Christ and Christianity. If you're not careful, Satan will discourage you. He will distract you. He will detain you. He will bring derangement in your life. He will bring delusion into your life in such a way that you will become discouraged and you will begin to waver, begin to waffle, and begin to wonder, where is God in all of this suffering? Israel was in the midst of great tribulation coupled with great judgments in all of the land of Egypt. They witnessed the hand of God. As a matter of fact, God told Moses, he said, Abraham knew me in covenant. He knew me by my name. But you're going to know me. You're going to witness my power like no one has ever witnessed my power before when you begin to deliver the people of God. I will go with you. Moses said, who am I going to say has sent me? He said unto Moses, I am that I am, has sent me down here to deliver the people of God. The church is going to have to take a second look at where they are. The church is going to have to realize without God, without His anointing, without the Holy Spirit of God being vibrant and fervent in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, most people are going to be decimated when it comes to the powers of darkness. You better know that you know that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and your Redeemer. Israel had grown into bondage. I see the same thing in the modern church. The church has grown into bondage. You say, what do you mean by that? When Joseph was second in command, that Pharaoh, that Ramses recognized Joseph's God. But over a period of several hundred years, they begin to grow into bondage more and more and more and more, and they were the servants of Pharaoh. The church has become a servant to the world. Thus Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Israel got to a place they hated Pharaoh. Why? He was making their lives arduous and difficult. And what did it cause Israel to do? They began to cry out to God for deliverance. Deliver us. Deliver us. God arrested His messenger Moses at a burning bush. He got his undivided attention. Moses was already set apart from his mother's womb for this day that was now coming. He was terrified. How will I do this? Some of you listening to me right now, you're terrified of what you see coming on the earth. You are beleaguered, you are bewildered, you're questioning, how will I get through this? You will get through it with the power of God. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Every one of us that survive, yes, I said survive, because if you'll read 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul talks about the rapture of the church. In verse 17, he said, then we which are alive and remain. The word remain there in the Greek means those that are alive and survive. Survive what? The onslaught of the hordes and hounds of hell shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We which are alive and remain, or we which are alive and survive. It's high time some of these so-called theologians do serious exegesis in the scriptures and find out what the words mean to help people to understand what's coming on the earth. It's coming. It's going to intensify. The powers of hell are already raging, but they're going to be magnified. They're going to be magnified here in the time of the end, and it will get so bad that the Antichrist and the false prophet will make their debut, and the world will embrace them, but not the church. The Bible tells us that they're going to be devil worshipers in Revelation 3, verse 4, and they worship the dragon, that's the devil, which gave power unto the beast, that's the Antichrist, and they worship the Antichrist, saying, who is like unto the Antichrist? Who's able to make war with him? They're going to worship him. Revelation 13, 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Whose names are not written in the book of life. Pray that your name is in the book of life so that you will not worship the Antichrist. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. By the way, it was John. 1 John, it was John who tells us about the Antichrist in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And then he says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something about error. There are two spirits out here. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Matthew 22:29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. People who don't know the scriptures don't know the power of God neither. They go hand in hand. God anoints the word. When you don't know the word, then there's no anointing there. When you know the word, when you embrace the word, when I preach the word, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is there to give power and authority to that word that is preached, amen. Little sissified preachers have to have their sermons outlined. They go to the bookstores, Christian bookstores, and they buy their sermons. They buy their sermons. I remember when I was still in the Church of God going to the General Assembly meetings in Kansas or Dallas or wherever it might be, San Antonio, Texas, or Orlando, Florida, but there were people there selling books of sermons. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Men buy sermons? I thought we're supposed to get a word from God, and we preach what God puts in our heart and what God puts in our spirit. You've heard me say this, I do not sermonize. I refuse to sermonize. That's trivial. There's so much wealth in the scriptures, the word of Almighty God, and yet preachers won't preach the word of God. When you preach the word of God, you preach power. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power's in the Holy Writ. Israel needed this power to get through times of difficulty. church is not being prepared for difficult days and difficult hours, but thank God there's a faction, there is a remnant of people that are beginning to be awakened. They're being awakened. They're beginning to be touched by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is telling them, you're not ready for what's coming down the pike. And they're searching and they're seeking and they're praying and they're fasting and they're calling out to God, God, show me the way. God, show me the truth. Just like Simeon. The Lord revealed to Simeon before he should die that he would see the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and God honored and God kept his word to Simeon. And Simeon's name means hearing. Simeon means hearing. He was a just man, the Bible says, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I love this part. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Then it says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then it says again, and he came by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, into the temple. And he had not even experienced Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Don't ever underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost. He's real. I get so tired of Baptist people telling me, well, that was just a transition period in the book of Acts. I don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. Hey, folks, if you can't believe the entire Bible, how can you believe parts of the Bible? Furthermore, if you're going to be a Baptist, bless God, be a good Baptist. John the Baptist preached the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you're going to be a Baptist, praise God, be a good Baptist, and preach and believe the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I believe that was for that time. That's your problem. You don't believe the word of God. You are a professor and not a possessor of the truth. Hebrews 1, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the word of God, the power, as I said, is in the word of Almighty God. Amen. Israel needed power from God for deliverance. And thus, as a pillar of cloud, it was to keep them from the scorching heat in the daytime. You see, God knows how to preserve the righteous in the day of wickedness and in the day of judgment. Satan is going to breathe against and on the church like never before here in this end time hour, and you better be disciplined. You better know that you know that you know you're sealed by the Spirit of God. You better possess the goods, because Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange or foreign thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. For inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, you're going to be a partaker of the same kind of sufferings that Jesus went through when he was on the cross. That's why Peter said, think it not strange. That word strange in the Greek means foreign, has happened unto you. But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Did you know if you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings, you will also be a partaker of his glory? Romans 8 and 18, Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Colossians 3, verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." This may be too much for some of you listening today. I don't know. But I want to be sure when you come to God's table, I put you out there a banquet meal, a banquet dinner that will feed your hungry soul in this hour when there's such a famine of the word of Almighty God. Suffering. Suffering. Paul said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, the presence of God is a protection. That pillar of a cloud was to keep them from the scorching heat in the daytime. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain." If you'll walk with God, God will take care of you, my friend. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 37, 23, 24, 25, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread." You don't have to beg God. Live right. Do right. And the blessings of God will overtake your life. I don't preach prosperity. You know why? If you live right, you will prosper because God's word said you will prosper. "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread." God will make provision for his people. As a pillar of fire, it was light in the night to guide them and to keep them warm in the desert cold. Psalms 105, verse 39 says, "He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night." My God, how he watched over them. If he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, how much more does he care for you? Do you hear me? You're fretting what's coming down the road. Let me say this. I went through the same anxiety that some of you are going through back in 1994, 20 years ago. 20 years ago when I got so hungry, I said, "I won't eat a bite of food till God moves in my life," not knowing that would take me down a journey of a 40-day fast. And God cleaned my clock, and God purged me, and God got a lot of refuse. He got a lot of junk out of me. I mean, a lot of junk that I had been taught by mortal men that was not scriptural. I remember looking in the mirror one day, and I said, "God, what are you doing to me?" He said, "I'm pouring you out. And I'm replacing what's in you with my presence and my power and my word." I begin to assimilate and ingest God's word like never before. Why? I wanted to know the truth. Some of you out there, you'll never get the truth till you pay a price. You're going to hang on to your false dogmas and your tenets till you die and go to the grave. And let me say what I said last week. I get lied on all the time. Got lied on last week. Somebody said, I said, if you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you're going to hell. That's a lie straight out of hell. I never said that. There were no more two godly people than my grandparents, but they believed in the pre-trib. But I guarantee if anybody's walking the streets of gold, they're walking them. I never said that. That's a lie. I made this statement last week, and I said, listen to me closely. And I'm going to say it again. I happen to have a little bit of retention, memorization, just a small amount, but I have some. I said last week, false doctrine will not take anybody to hell unless it involves sin. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Is that clear enough? False doctrine will not take a man to hell unless it involves sin. My brothers and sisters who believe in Jesus only, they live holy, dedicated, righteous lives. But I don't believe that there's only one God. I believe there's one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Those are holiness people, but I believe they're in error. Because I read my Bible, and it tells me in Acts 10:38 how God, that's one person, anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's another person, with the Holy Ghost and with power. There's another personage. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I mean, I can give you the Bible, but people won't believe the Bible. They won't believe the Scriptures. They want to believe heresy. But I'll tell you this, if you believe in false doctrine and it allows you or brings you into sin, it'll be sin that'll take you to a devil's hell. Don't let nobody tell you once saved, always saved, because you got saved when you was 12 and now you're committing adultery that you're still going to heaven. That's a lie straight out of hell, because it's encouraging you to sin, and sin separates men from God. Period. Period. Read Isaiah 59. His hand is not short. It's not God's hand. My God, he can do anything. His hand is not short. People amaze me. They amaze me. God's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I shared with you a few weeks ago, even the Pharisees had that much, right? John 9:31. And we know that God heareth not the prayers of sinners. I hear it all the time. I know I don't live right, but I still pray. That's a joke. That's a joke. Why aren't you living right? I said, why aren't you living right then? You're not living right because there's pleasure in sin for a season. That's why. You like the gratification of the flesh. You like sleeping with that woman, sir. You like going to bed with her. You like sleeping with her. You like her flesh. You like the gratification that you get from that strange flesh. But, sir, it's not right. No, sir, it's not right. Moses, in Hebrews 11, we're told, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hey, the Bible tells you there's pleasure in sin, but for a season. And when that season goes, you'll see the toil of sin. Oh, yes, there was pleasure with Samson as he slept with a Philistine woman, Delilah. But there was pleasure for just a season. And then that pleasure turned into bondage and absolute physical blindness. But the spiritual blindness took hold first. The spiritual blindness took hold first. And then the physical blindness was manifest after he broke his covenant and vow with God. Folks, we need the power of God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12 says, moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Let me tell you, let Jesus Christ be the light of your life. John 8:12 says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You'll have the light of life. It's not just a light. It is a light of life. Do you hear that? It's a light of eternal life. But because of sin, John 3:19, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Evil. Why do we need the power of God so in our life? Because if we don't have it, Satan will sift you. Satan is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He doesn't care how he does it. The mode, the method of operation is insignificant. All he wants to do is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now here's the aberration in the church. Oh, we want the power of God, but we want it for nothing. You're not going to get it for nothing. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts in receiving the power of God in your life. Let me ask you a question, sir. Let me ask you a question, ma'am. And this is for those who have good, healthy bodies. When's the last time you went on a extended fast? When's the last time you spent some serious time in prayer till you got broken in the Holy Ghost and hot tears began to stream down your face? How long has it been? Or has it ever been? Oh, I forgot you shook a preacher's hand. He told you were saved. No, God is so gracious. He says, you can meet me personally at the altar. You don't have to go to a man. You don't have to go to some little booth and get behind a curtain and confess your sins to another man who is enthralled and enamored with your salacious sins. The power of God cannot be gotten without paying the price. See, we are a generation, we want something for nothing. We want something for nothing. God says there are no shortcuts. And that brings me to the close here in this little message today from Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. This is very significant. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. I want you to get this because it is very apropos because of what I'm saying. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. So the Lord led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. He took them the long route. Why? You see, God is so sovereign, he knows. He knew that if he led them through the shortcut to the promised land, which the Bible says, it was a shorter way, it was a nearer way, that the people would become discouraged. The word there is repent, but it simply means they would be discouraged if they had to immediately go to war. These were slaves. These were not fighting warriors. These people had been in bondage. They didn't know how to fight in a skillful manner and way. God couldn't afford to let them go that way because they would have gotten into battle, they'd have got destroyed or discouraged, I should say. God can keep anybody. But he didn't want them to get discouraged and want to go back to Egypt, so he took them a farther way to the promised land. And this is the problem with the modern church. Give us a shortcut, God. Give us a shortcut. There's no shortcuts when it comes to God's power and God's anointing. You've got to pay the price. Well, I don't want to fast a whole week, preacher. I don't want to have to pray 30, 40 minutes a day, an hour or whatever. I don't want to do that. That's too much light work. The problem is we're no longer hungry. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger for God. That's what happened to me in 1994. I'd fasted 21 days many times. But there was something still missing in my heart. There was something lacking. I didn't know what it was, but I wanted whatever it was. I wanted God to manifest it. God, show it to me. Make it real. I need to know God. See, people don't do that anymore. They'll fast 2 or 3 days and quit and say, well, I didn't get anything. You sure didn't, because you gave up. You quit. Let me tell you, when you get hungry for God, I guarantee God will quench that hunger and God will quench that thirst. He said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. People don't want to pay the price. Let me say this in closing. There is coming a revival. There is coming an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, Jonathan Edwards, John Wesley, John Whitehead, there's a revival coming. But it's going to cost us. It's going to cost this generation more than any other previous generation. Years ago, when God would suffer revival to break out, it was because men and women were somewhere in a barn, in a schoolhouse, or in an old broken-down church, the Welch Revival people were praying and praying and praying and calling out on God, and God showed up. God showed up. You want to read some tremendous stories about a man? Read Smith Wigglesworth. Man would just go sit down on a train. People would start weeping because the anointing that was on that man's life. Listen, men of God don't go around trying to intimidate anybody. They just walk the walk, they talk the talk, and God's presence is manifest. And it bothers people. You have no idea how many people get upset with me all the time. I don't have an agenda. I just come here to this microphone to preach the word of God. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You may not like my disposition. You may not like my deliverance, the way I preach the word. You may not like the sound or tone of my voice. You may not even like the way I comb my hair, but that's all insignificant. What God honors is the preaching of the pure, unadulterated word of God. And we have testimonies all the time about the great things that God is doing in people's lives. People one young man, Fred, him and his girlfriend in Florida, shacking up, living together, began to listen to me, and they gave their hearts to the Lord. They went and got married. They got out of their sin. But he told me, he said, I'm so tatted up, you probably wouldn't look at me. Hey, but God's going to give him a new body one day. I said, God's going to give him a new body one day, and those tattoos won't be all over that new body. Amen. But people are being touched. Why? It's not David Lankford. God forbid. It's the word that we preach. Some young man emailed me from California the other day, and he said he felt in his spirit that God told him He'd give him anything he wanted, just ask for it. And it humbled me because you know what he asked? God, that Pastor Lankford would never, ever compromise in preaching the word of God. You see, the reason people get mad, I'm preaching Bible, they don't even have a clue that it even exists in the scriptures. They don't even know that scripture's there. Because they're not feasting on the scriptures. They're reading books. Somebody emailed me the other day and said, could not believe how many scriptures that you have in your books. The only writing part is to help people to understand and put the scriptures together. But the scriptures are the scriptures, whether they're in a book that I write or the Bible. It's still the Word of God. And that's why there's power. And that's why men and women's minds are illuminated, because of the Word of God. And you and I both know there's such a famine of God's Word. It's sickening to witness how little Bible is preached. I prayed as a young preacher, God, make me a John the Baptist, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And there's no doubt in my mind, God has not afforded that to me, to cry in the wilderness. And who knows? Maybe it will cost me my head somewhere down the road. But my point is, I want to be faithful, because the harvest, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, is plenteous. But he had a problem. Do you know what the problem was when he said that? Look on the fields. Look on the fields, he said. Why? He said, for they're white, and they are ready to harvest. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Thank you, those of you who pray for me. I want to be a laborer in his vineyard. I want to be a laborer in his vineyard here in this end time hour. Let me encourage you to become hungry and to become thirsty for the power of God in the coming days. Remember, next Monday, I believe that's November the 3rd, we'll be trying to answer questions from people who sent them to us. So get your question in. We'll try to answer it on the air to try to help as many people as we possibly can to give them a scriptural answer to their questions. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you Monday. In the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. No.